Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'm just going to look at verses 14 and 15, but I will show you that in verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5, 11, he says, comfort yourselves together. And then in verse 14, he says, comfort the feeble-minded. And he uses a word at the beginning of verse 14. Do you see that word, exhort? Doesn't that sound like a terrible word? Oh, exhort. They're going to exhort me. That's not a bad word. That's a good word. In fact, interesting, that word comes from the same word. It's one of the roots of the word where we get the idea of the Holy Spirit being a comforter. It means to be called alongside, to get someone to agree with you or to work with you. And you know, the Holy Spirit is the Bible uses the Greek word paraclete. He comes alongside to help. And so this idea of exhorting someone is to come alongside them to help them. And he wants us, he says in verse 14, to comfort. He wants us to exhort. He uses the word support. He says he wants us to support some people. We'll talk about this in just a minute. He wants us to be patient. Oh, I hate those words, that word patient. I had a youth group one time in one of the very first youth trips I ever took. We used to take our youth trip at least a couple of times a year in Utah. And one of the very first ones I took a bunch of young people to St. George, Utah to do some evangelism with a missionary. And they were driving me crazy. And we were staying at the missionary's house. There were 19 of us and there was one bathroom. And it was an interesting trip. And at the end of the trip, I was ready to pull my hair out, and the missionary's wife said, "Oh, Pastor Schaefer, you're such a patient person. You know, that if you could only see inside of me right now, you know, the hands are looking for someone to strangle." You know, but the Bible says we need to be patient towards all men. Amen. I didn't say it; I'm just showing what the Bible says. Amen. It's hard to do. Let me read the verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:14. He says, "Now we exhort you." That's Paul exhorting, calling us alongside to agree with him. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Verse 15, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Somebody says, Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. It says, any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. He's thinking about the lost world. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you this evening, God, that we have a Bible. Help us now to not just read it, not just hear the facts of it, but God, I ask you to place these words in our heart. Help us tonight to see some responsibilities that we have towards one another and towards all men. And Lord, truly, just as the Lord Jesus Christ took responsibility, he took the obligation of paying for the sins of the world. And he gives us responsibilities as well. Sharing the gospel, of course, we know, but some details we see here in these two verses. Help us to understand these details briefly tonight, and then help us to apply them throughout the week and throughout our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. These are two verses that we need to live. And it's not easy to live these verses. And I'll kind of break it down into the pieces here if I could. Again, there is the word exhort, which means he's calling us alongside. Think about people in the Bible you could use as an example of someone to be like. Who would you pick? You want to be like a Bible character. Who would you like to pick? Somebody tell me. Who would you like to pick? Greg.
Elisha.
Elisha. Not the Jah, the Shah. And I remember that the order because they're in alphabetical order. Elijah came first and then Elisha. Amen. Okay. Marguerite? Ruth. Oh, excellent. Okay.
Solomon.
And not the end. The beginning. Yeah, amen. And the building and the accomplishments for God. Amen. I like Abraham. when he was willing to offer his son. I'd like to be that faith, that full of faith. Anybody else? Bible character? Enoch. Yeah, Enoch. He walked with God and he was translated, wanting to be translated, brother. Amen. And that'd be just so close to God, God just took him. Anybody else? Who? Yes, ma'am. Say it again.
Daniel.
Amen. Didn't have an easy life. He was in captivity, but he sure was a good example time and time and time again. And I think of him in the lion's den, but I really, the story I like the most is when the hand wrote on the wall. And that very night, I like part of that story because of the military event that took place. That city was incredibly impenetrable, and the enemy couldn't get through the walls, but there was a river that flowed through the city, and they literally diverted the river and came in where the river came in and captured the city. And anyway, yeah, I think when you look at Paul, he's somebody that we might not think of as wanting to be like him because he suffered so much, but I sure like his attitude. Amen? Amen? If you had to have a Bible character that had a good attitude, I'm not sure I want to pick the suffering of Paul, but I sure like his attitude. I'd like to be like that. And he exhibited the things he's talking about here tonight in this passage. And so let's look at them, if we could. He says, first of all, warn them that are unruly. Warn them that are unruly. The word unruly is one of the keys here. It means someone who is disposed to disregard the laws. Someone who cannot be governed. Sounds like our nation, doesn't it? Those who tend to violate boundaries. I was talking to a man a while back, and he was smoking a cigarette. And I was trying to help him, and I walked up to him, and I said, hey, I said, you know I like you, right? And he said, you're going to give me that speech about smoking, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I just saw somebody die of cancer. It's not a pretty thing. You really don't want to do that. And it's true. My stepmother died of lung cancer because she smoked all of her life. It's easy for us to see things like that. But what about people that live in sin? That's what breaks your heart when you see people sin. You say, well, they're just having a good time. They're going to pay a price for that good time, aren't they? I'm not talking about in eternity. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about here on this earth. Seen too much of it. Seen too many people that were quote-unquote having a good time, and it caught up with them. And it doesn't need, God doesn't have to come looking for you to punish you. The wages of sin is death. And folks that are inclined to disregard God's rules, God's law, to disregard God and what he wants, they're going to live a hard life. The Bible says the way of transgressors is hard. And the fellow I was talking to today, that I talked to about the Lord a little bit, I asked him how old he was. He said, I'm 70. And I thought, yeah, you look like you're about 80, but okay. I said, well, you don't look too bad for a 70-year-old. And but, you know, you can see some people live a hard life. Warn. The word warn, of course, means to give notice of probable danger, to caution against that which will prove injurious. Folks, someone says, I can live a life like I want. God doesn't care how I live. If God doesn't care how we live, why does he tell us to warn the unruly?
That's right.
Amen? And it's just a fact. And let's remember something. He's not talking about warning yourself. He's talking about helping other people. I don't like to be told what to do, someone says. Well, you know, you've been driving down the road and there's a sign that says bridge out. I don't like to be told what to do. Keep on driving. The bridge is still out. You may not like instructions, but you're going to crash. Warn the unruly. That's a responsibility we have. It's not easy, is it? And by the way, when we do that, we don't do it because, oh, I'm right and you're wrong, or, oh, you know, I'm going to show you who's better, me or you. I don't like that either. I don't like it when people come to me and try to tell me that they're better than me and that they're trying to prove it by telling me I'm wrong here and wrong there and wrong somewhere else. But if you love somebody and they know it, you can warn them, can't you?
Amen.
At least if they know you love them, they'll understand where it's coming from. Interesting, in a sad prayer request, but a good prayer request, that some fellow's got cancer He has children away from the Lord. I know he wants them back with the Lord because he knows that if they're unruly, that's going to hurt. And maybe perhaps in his suffering, he can reach them somehow. We have that responsibility. It's not a privilege. It's a responsibility. Warn the unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Okay, be careful now. Feeble-minded. Got to look up some words. I love Webster's 1828 dictionary. Here's what that word means. Feeble-minded. Weak in ability to comprehend or understand. Weak in the ability to comprehend or understand. One who cannot act with resolution. Now, this makes more sense. Men without, men that don't have a strong will. We would apply that to things that are commonplace like dieting. I'd love to diet, but I like hamburgers. Yeah. And a lot of other things too. And sometimes my will is not as strong as my appetite. There's some people in the world that are predisposed to feed their appetites. They don't have a strong will. Say, oh, they're bad people. Don't need to go there. The fact of the matter is, the Bible says we need to what? Comfort them. How do you comfort somebody? Comforting means to speak in a way that would calm or console them, to cheer or enliven, to strengthen the mind through consolation, to console people that have difficulty comprehending the promises of God. There are people in our midst, and they don't trust God because they just can't see it. And by the way, I suppose we ought to remind ourselves we don't have to see it to trust God, do we? Amen? But you know what I'm talking about. There are people, the Bible uses the word feeble-minded. It doesn't mean unintelligent. I think there are some people that in the world's eyes would be, a very limited ability mentally, very limited IQ, if you will, that have great faith. And there are some people that have great IQs and very little faith. And faith is really the key here, is not the ability to comprehend in the sense of being a genius, but it's a willingness to comprehend what God has to say. And so it's our duty to console those people. Quite often, what people I see happening sometimes in churches is we tend to condemn those kind of people. Ah, there's something wrong with them. They're not good enough or whatever. Folks, Everybody in our church, from the most faithful to the least faithful, from the godliest to the least godly, from the hardest worker to the least worker, to the healthiest to the least healthy, God put them all in this church for a reason. Amen. And God put them in this church so that if you have ability they don't have, you can help them. And if they don't have ability you have, they can be helped. Amen? Amen? And the Bible says God places members in the body. So, you know, I have some body parts that, for example, I have a toe that is just, I broke it and I did not get it fixed right. It's just not like it ought to be. Sometimes it hurts me. It's crooked. But I'm not going to cut it off. I'm going to do the best I can to keep it going, you know, and to keep it healthy. I'm just trying to think of some ways to get us to see there are people in our church that God put here, not so that they can be a great resource to our church, but so our church can be a great resource to them. Amen? Amen? And sometimes they're easy to see. And it says we're to comfort them. We're to come alongside them and to console them, to encourage them. And it can be as simple as telling them, it's going to be okay. God's in control. Patty Ball went through a very difficult time recently. And I commend those of you, especially since Dan stepped into eternity, who have been there to comfort her. Can you imagine what it would have been like if you hadn't done that? Is she still staying with you all, or is she back at home? Okay. That's right. She's with Bobby. That's right. But she's back home now. So can you imagine what would have happened if she hadn't done that? If she'd had to stay home by herself that first night, and that second night, and that third night? Yeah. It's a good thing somebody was there. Amen. And someday you and I will need that, won't we? And that's why God put us together. Okay, real quick. We've got to move on. It's about the same thing here in number three. He says, number one, warn them that are unruly. Okay. Number two, comfort the feeble-minded. This is responsibilities we have. Number three, support the weak. Now, that's a little easier to understand. We know what weak is: lacking strength, infirm, unable to resist, perhaps, like a tender plant without a firm stalk. The word support means to hold up or prop up or to sustain. Support the weak. So you say, someone else can't do it, then we need to step in and help them do it. Amen? Or do it for them. That's what Christ does for us, isn't it?
Amen.
We could not save ourselves, and he saved us. You say, well, that's a lot of work. Yeah, it is, but God said to do it. And you say, well, there's so many weak people. Yeah, but God will give us the strength to help them. Amen?
Yeah.
Support the weak. Real quick, number four. Look at this. This is verse 15. I'm sorry, verse 14 at the end. He says, be patient towards all men. Now, there's a definition I got here I'm going to read to you. Be patient. It means to endure, or we would use the word put up with evils without fretfulness. Being calm in the face of tribulation. There's a really good story you may have heard. You all heard about the Alamo? Another good one would be the Battle of Bunker Hill. You ever heard of the Battle of Bunker Hill in the Revolutionary War? In both cases, they were shooting a weapon that had a very limited accuracy. The projectile didn't travel straight. It kind of run around. And so in both cases, the commander of the troops gave them the same instruction. You've heard this. Don't fire till you see the whites of their eyes. Well, at the Battle of Bunker Hill, and it's a really interesting story. I can't tell the whole thing, but the British far outnumbered the Americans, not just in resources, but in men and manpower. And they were trained soldiers, and the Americans were just, slipshod bunch of farmers that got together or whatever. And it's actually, if you want to get technical, it's Breed's Hill is where it took place, but they call it Bunker Hill. Anyway, the people from Boston, they went out there and they dug fortifications, and that was a good thing they did. And they got underneath the fortifications where they weren't an easy target, and then they waited. And here came the British. And they said, don't shoot yet. Don't shoot yet. Don't shoot yet. And here's this mass of British soldiers coming at them that outnumbers them. And they wait until the British get terribly close, like 20 yards away, 20, 15 yards away. And then they all shot. And they killed and wounded so many British soldiers that it discouraged the British. The British were thinking, oh, we're going to whip up on these Americans real easy. Wrong. And it encouraged the Americans thinking, hey, you know what? We might be able to win this war. And that one event, the same thing happened at the Alamo early on. The Mexicans were coming, the Spanish, I should say, were coming, and the people in the Alamo waited to the last minute to shoot, and because of that, they had more casualties. It's hard to be patient when it looks bad, isn't it? It's hard to be patient, but you know, we have a secret weapon. We can be patient because we trust God.
Amen?
Amen? The martyr that is facing death, what's the worst they can do? Send me to heaven? Amen? We can be patient because we have a God that's got a place prepared for us, and he's promised never to leave us or forsake us. Now, there's a word in this verse, those last two words, all men. There are some people that can really give you a run for your money, aren't there? Well, God says be patient toward all men. My first inclination is to say, Lord, I can't. But we can. We need to at least give it our best shot. Amen. It's important. And by the way, when you lose your patience, it causes a lot of damage. It hurts you. It hurts your testimony. It hurts the church's testimony. It hurts the person you're not patient toward. Be patient toward all men. Well, let's read that last verse and I'll be done. It's time to quit. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Do I really need to explain that? Don't get even. You say, well, they did it, so I can too. See that none render evil. It's very comprehensive. See that none, that means nobody, render evil for evil unto any, that means everybody, man. Just not allowed to do it. But you don't know what they did to me, Pastor. It doesn't matter. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. Amen?
Amen.
When we do, we're wrong. And by the way, let's go back to where we started. He said back up early on, he said there, warn the unruly. You say, well, I just can't live by verse 15. I'm going to have to get even with some people. It's going to hurt you. Amen? It's going to hurt you. What did the Lord Jesus Christ do when they smote him? He took it. Amen. That's not popular. I see so many times when people, I think last night, I think the reason that Nancy Pelosi chose to tear the speech up, I think, is because President Trump didn't shake her hand at the beginning of the speech. I'm just guessing. I don't know. But I'll show you. I'm right and you're wrong, and I'll show you. What do you think, Mark? Yeah. Yeah. She did. Yeah. And where does that all come from? She doesn't like the fellow, and so she's going to show it. I'm going to get even with you. That's pretty much what she's saying. I'm going to do what I can to get even with you. By the way, folks, a house divided against itself can't stand, right? Our nation is in that category right now. What are the benefits of being old? We haven't got to stick around. I'm sorry, Michelle, and some of you younger people, you're going to be here for a while longer than we are. It's going to get ugly. If it doesn't get straightened out, it's going to get ugly. And it may get ugly before even we step into eternity. But at any rate, you don't get even with people. Amen? Amen. You just don't. You don't. Yes, sir.
I'm not sure exactly where it says in the Bible, but if you're kind to those who are unkind to you, you're just heaping coals of fire.
Yeah.
On your head.
Exactly. It's almost a direct quote. I think it's in Matthew. Yeah. And it's in one of the Gospels. I'm almost sure that Lord Jesus Christ said it. And at the end of the day, we treat people the way God tells us to, not the way they deserve to be treated. Amen? That's what it comes down to. Anyway, see that none render evil for evil unto any man. Here's a contrast here, but here's the alternative. Ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. In the church, out of the church, follow that which is good. The goodness of God leads us to repentance. I think I've said enough. We have some tall, it's a pretty tall order, but it's what God calls us to do. And I'll just read them one more time and we'll stand and pray. Warn the unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all, and never get even. There's two verses for you. Luke 6:28. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them which despitefully use you. 1 Peter 3:9. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that thereunto, that you are called thereunto, that ye should inherit a blessing.
Amen.
And I tell you this. When you endure evil, when you warn, when you comfort, when you support others, when you don't get even, God can take care of us. Amen?
Amen?
When we take matters into our own hands, a lot of the time, most of the time, almost all the time, we just mess them up. But when we do it God's way, He can fix it up.
Amen?
Amen? Didn't say it was easy, but this is part of faith. The way we treat people, this is part of faith. And it kind of scares me to go through a message like this, because now God's going to give us some chances to exercise this, isn't He? Let's all stand and pray.